The late North Korean dictator Kim Jong-il was a movie fanatic. In 1978, he kidnapped a South Korean actress and her movie director husband and forced them to work for him. A new documentary tells that story. NPR's Netta Ulubi spoke with one of the filmmakers.
It's just too bizarre to be real.
Ross Adam is one of the two directors who tracked down actress Choi Ni. Now she's nearly 90 years old. In the documentary, she remembers getting lured to Hong Kong with an offer to star in a movie.
There was no reason to be suspicious.
Choi went to visit a home by the sea she thought was owned by a producer.
There was a speedboat with three or four strong men. All of a sudden, a guy grabbed me by the arms. Before I knew it, I was on board. All the blood drained from my head to my toes.
Choi was drugged and dragged to North Korea. She awoke as a captive of Kim Jong-il.
He had a projection room in every house so he could watch movie anytime. Having seen very many movies, he wanted North Korea cinema to be just that great. But he thought his comrades were too simple. To me, he seems like an artist who loved films.
And he intrigued documentary directors Robert Cannon and Ross Adam.
We're equally terrified but also attracted to dictators and their inner world and their particular kind of ego.
Kim Jong-il's ego was captured secretly on tape by the actress as he complained about North Korea's underwhelming film industry.
Why do all of our films have the same ideological plots? There's nothing new about them. Why are there so many crying scenes? All of our films have crying scenes. This isn't a funeral, is it?
It's compelling to hear Kim Jong-il's voice, partly because we think of him as a powerful visual icon.
Wearing these glasses, wearing this ridiculous Maoist suit.
Suk-young Kim studies North Korean film and teaches at UCLA.
And you can really hear the dilemma that he was facing.
Let's show the West what we are capable of.
Over the course of 8 years, Kim Jong-il forced his pet actress and her director husband, Shin San-ok, to make nearly 20 films. Historical dramas, martial arts movies, even a North Korean version of Godzilla, and more, as actress Choi In-hee says in the film.
In North Korea, there were no love stories. Films were about loyalty, dedication, and hard work. But we made the first love story in North Korean history.
After these movies made their way to film festivals, mostly behind the Iron Curtain, Kim Jong-il started allowing the couple to travel.
Shin and Choi were his prized toys, and he wanted to show them off to the world.
Director Ross Adam says in 1986, at a film festival in Austria, the two escaped to the U.S. Embassy. But even though Choi and Shin escaped their captor, some people wondered how the director in particular had ended up in his clutches to begin with.
Like many South Koreans, I have my doubts about Shin's true motivation to go to North Korea.
Professor Suk-young Kim says Shin was a rebel, a political dissident in South Korea, and although he was then its most celebrated filmmaker, his movies had started to be censored by the military government. Some believe he defected to North Korea on purpose. Shin died in 2006, and the whole story may never be known. But coming to it as outsiders was useful, says British documentary director Ross Adam.
We had no kind of ulterior motives or no preconceptions about the story. We were going to approach it with an open mind.
And that's apparent, says film professor Suk-young Kim. She's seen lots of interviews with the documentary's only surviving main character, actress Choi In-hee, but this one felt surprisingly honest.
There was depth to it. I mean, you could really hear what she was going through. Choi In-hee says it so well. There's acting for film and there's acting for life. And in North Korea, those could be one and the same thing.
Suk-young Kim says North Korea remains a highly cinematic society, a stage set of sorts for another dictator obsessed with spectacle and drama. In that way, the documentary The Lovers and the Despot is a movie about a movie, she says, but one whose unwilling actors will mostly never escape. Netta Ulubi, NPR News.